From the caves at Lascaux to the Ten Commandments to homeroom in sixth grade, notes have played an important role in man's history. This is the Taking Notes Podcast with Julian Robichaud and Bruce Elcourt.
Hey everyone, welcome to episode 148 of the Taking Notes Podcast. My name is Bruce Elcourt and I am here with
Julian Robichaud.
And Julian, who did we speak to today?
We had a chance to speak with Alistair Rennie, General Manager, IBM Collaboration Solutions.
Yep, we asked Alistair a whole bunch of questions about Lotusphere and really had some, I have to say, he had some great answers to each and every one of them, except for one at the very end, right?
You'll have to listen and see.
All right, so let's listen to Alistair talk about all things social business and Lotusphere.
We are here with Alistair Rennie, the General Manager, IBM Collaboration Solutions. Alistair, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Hey, it's a real pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Well, we just got back from a really great Lotusphere. I think it was number 19 by our count. And, you know, it seems like a lot of what I saw this last week was an evolution of the existing product base rather than maybe an announcement of brand new products. Is that a fair assessment?
I think it's partially fair. I mean, I think we clearly showed some pretty major refinements to existing products. And if you look across the board, we showed, monumental progress on what we're doing with connections. I mean, I think the feedback on, you know, where we showed connections next going has been incredibly positive to the point of, I think, people thinking about it sort of redefining the category that it's in. So it's an evolution of an existing product, but it's a pretty substantial one. I think the same thing would apply to what we're doing or in the notes space. Clearly not a product that is in any way slowing down. Adding social into the client, adding the browser plugin so that we can help people with applications and evolving that story. And I think in the web experience space, we certainly saw, you know, a lot more than anything incremental there with how we're handling, you know, people's rich content, putting content in the context of people's sites, making that social. So, you know, we didn't necessarily, come up with a major new category. I think what you saw was, you know, pretty dramatic investment across the whole portfolio in ways that I think will really, really change how people think about the products.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, since a lot of our listeners tend to be some of the notes and domino faithful, I think some people were excited to see that it's going to be kind of an active year for notes and domino releases too. And, you know, there's the social edition, there's some nice new plugins and additions, there's the browser application plugin. So, you know, how does this affect the existing customer base? And also, you know, is this a kind of a way to try to attract new customers?
Well, it is for sure. I mean, I think that, the Notes and Domino customer base is very large and, you know, very important. And if you think about the sheer number of people that spend the vast majority of their working time, with notes and with notes from a collaboration perspective and from an application perspective, you know, that's a very large and very important number. So I think what we're doing in that space to add and integrate, you know, new social capability drives notes as, you know, what I would consider to be, you know, the most innovative, mail and calendar platform, not to mention application platform. So, you know, we're excited about driving that capability in and of itself forward. It's also pretty important, I think, to think about how we're taking notes to market. So when we talk about the announcement of bringing all the collaboration capability into IBM Smart Cloud for social business, the core messaging and calendar capability in that platform is, you know, multi-tenant Domino with both sort of Notes as an installed client and Notes as a web client on the front end. So as we look about attracting new clients in this space, it's about sort of both innovation on the user experience, which I think is certainly there. You know, it's also about making sure that we fully leverage, the technology into different deployment vehicles, in this case, cloud. So, absolutely, it's both innovation for existing customers and it's about growth.
Alistair, social has been the word of the month for at least 2 years now. Beyond investing in IBM software, what would your message be to existing ICS customers and partners to help them, quote unquote, get social?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think one of the things that was the most exciting about the event this year was having clients who are going through this journey tell the story in their own words. And the message that I took away from watching clients in this space, you know, gave us, I think, some real good indicators of how to think about what you just asked. I think one is, you know, the people that are making the most progress about this are not thinking about this, you know, as a technology decision. You can't buy a tool and become a social business. The people that are making great progress, and there were so many examples of them: Bayer, Toronto Dominion Bank, Children's Hospital, all the folks that presented across the conference. The vast majority of those folks will tell you that they started out thinking about what they were trying to drive from a business perspective. In some cases, it was, you know, as ambitious as redefining the way we educate and train and share best practices across doctors. In other cases, it was, you know, sort of shortening the communication cycle across the organization. In some cases, it's improving, you know, operational metrics in an organization. So I think it's very, very important that you know, we as a community think about the business reason for people, you know, moving towards social. It is not to acquire a tool, it's to change the way they work. And I think, you know, the folks that were presenting so much of the content at Lotusphere really set the stage for that in terms of both how to think about that and how to create the right kind of partnership between IT and the business. And to your question a little bit about, you know, what does it mean for some of our partners and other members of the community from a technical side, I really think it points to a call to action to make sure that the work that we do and the way that we present ourselves and create programs is designed to really help accelerate the way we engage with the line of business. I mean, increasingly technology decisions are getting made by business people, you know, maybe with IT and maybe in many cases without IT. So being able to go talk to the business people in their own terms around business outcome, I think, is a really big accelerant and something that, you know, we all have to continue to be really good at and practice. And the last thing I think that I would comment on, and there's many to pick from, but it is that there's new roles emerging. You know, what we're talking about with social is really changing the way organizations think about working, how leaders lead, how, you know, people are incented, how communication flows, you know, what sort of cultural norms are. And there was a lot of really good discussion about how that means there is an evolution of new roles. We talked about things like community managers. And, you know, to be honest, we had some really good debates through the week with different folks about, is community manager the right name? Is it really more of an enabler? Is it a leader? Is it a facilitator? And I think that's an incredibly good debate. It's a healthy debate. But no matter what you call it, there is this role coming into, I think, great demand for, you know, people that know how to facilitate the development of communities in the context of a business. So I think there will be new roles. I think there's, you know, new ways of getting people to think about and adopt technology that may be different than some of the tools we've seen in the past.
Well, and there's a difference between the being social with your customers and being social with the internals of your business, I guess. I mean, is that getting to be kind of a pretty blurry line?
I think for the people that are best of breed, it certainly is. I mean, I think you see people starting in different places. Some organizations want to start directly with their customer. Some organizations want to, you know, start maybe internally around culture or workflow. You know, if you think about business independent of any technology or independent of social, I think we would all kind of agree that the businesses that tend to know how to engage the best with their customers, whether it's, you know, business to consumers or business to business, you know, the people that can put expertise on the front line and affect the way clients get listened to and served and helped and, you know, the way innovation is driven from client feedback, those folks have always tended to be, you know, the leaders in their industry. And I think in the same way, you know, the folks that are sort of furthest along with social are, you know, looking at ways to bridge internal and external to accelerate that very thing. You know, can they serve customers better? Can they introduce products in ways that are better able to train salespeople to help clients? Can they listen to client feedback in real time? So, you know, you're going to see people come at this from both angles, but I think like any kind of, dynamic in the industry, the people that can apply it to the client end of their business the fastest and create a more open, integrated process with their clients are going to be ahead.
So what do you think is different in the business world right now compared to, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago? You know, suddenly there's this huge explosion in I guess, talking about the need to be social and to have this social technology. And, you know, what do you think brought that on?
Well, you know, I think it's a confluence of things. I think, you know, first of all, you know, if you look at sort of the metrics of how people are spending their time online, it's dramatically shifting to being part of a network, and there's many to choose from, but people are, you know, dramatically kind of shifting their online time there. So if you're engaging with clients, you know, you're going to put your message where they are. And, you know, increasingly, you know, that's in a social environment. So that's kind of a first thought. I think it's impossible to discount what's happening with mobility. Mobility we used to talk about as an accessory when you were traveling and away from a desktop. And I think for many employees and many customers, mobile is a primary way of access. And it's redefining not only workflow, but, client interaction. So I think mobile is certainly pushing down that path. I think there is a shift in cultural behavior. If you look as an organization that's looking to hire and maintain and nurture talent, you have a rapid influx of people who grew up digitally native who are looking for different things in the workplace. They're looking to be connected. They want to be rewarded for what they know, and they're more inclined to share as a cultural norm than maybe generations in the past. So, businesses are looking to, make sure they can compete on that level. If you look at sort of cultural norms from a consumer perspective, I think, the jury is back and the decision is made. I mean, I think we are all much less influenced by traditional forms of advertising, whether it be, traditional media or whether it even be sort of online media. I mean, we are much more inclined to sort through information now based on the recommendation of the community. And that means, again, businesses of all kinds need to engage there. So those would be, I think, some key drivers. I'm sure there are more, but they would be the ones that come to top of mind. But I also think that there is a kind of an underlying mega trend that is maybe more subtle, but I think every bit as important. And that is, if you look at the structure of many companies in many industries in all parts of the world, they are coming to the conclusion that they are going to win or lose in their industry, certainly partly on operational excellence, traditional systems of record, if you will. And those don't go away. But the differentiation is going to come from who can innovate faster, who can train their people more effectively faster, who can have the right person in the right place with the right knowledge at the right time, who can tap the sort of collective capability of their organization fastest, which in some ways says people are trying to figure out how to differentiate and win in their business by having, the most effective people. And, the most effective people is not going to be an individual sport, it's going to be a team sport. And I think social platforms are becoming kind of the new substrate for how people think about winning in their industry. So I think there's some pretty obvious and pretty important drivers that aren't going away. And then I think there's this underlying desire for people to find ways to compete differently on the collective wisdom of the humans in their organization. So I think we're at the very beginning of this. I mean, I think this is a substantial, long-lasting shift.
Alistair, it seems like there's been a tremendous focus on cloud initiatives, right? Lotus Live, IBM Docs, Connections, and mobile development, right? You guys had 44 new releases, I believe, last year. My question is, where does this leave desktop applications? Are traditional applications, desktop applications, going to be going away?
I don't think anything in IT ever goes away, and it certainly absolutely never goes away as fast as, the press and the pundits would have it. So, we all have clients that have, tremendous economic value built up in desktop applications. And, you know, there is an intense desire to make sure that those investments can be leveraged for a very long time. So I don't necessarily see desktop applications going away. I absolutely see desire from clients of all kinds to find more effective ways to operate desktops and desktop applications. You know, people are looking for ways to simplify the management cost of you know, installed operating systems and all of the things that go with that. So I think, you know, we're going to see continued pressure on how do we simplify and lower the cost for that. I think cloud will accelerate that as people look for, you know, leaner, more streamlined infrastructure. And I think mobile is driving that. I think mobile changes the game for a lot of applications. You know, people able to take small slices of applications and decompose them into apps is something that I think you're going to see more and more of in the enterprise. So I don't think anything goes away. I think there's a lot of innovation to be driven on helping people with the cost and complexity aspects of desktop applications. But I think that the drivers are for not only that level of simplification, but for, you know, being able to make sure that applications of all kinds, you know, just get reachable from any endpoint. You know, both, you know, current and future.
Well, back to Lotusphere, I guess, since we kind of started there, you know, takeaways from the conference. I know that I have my own takeaways in terms of technology and social and you know, from a developer standpoint, some of the things that I need to be looking at. So I would ask you, what takeaways did you have? I mean, what kind of things did you get from conversations with customers or whatever feedback channels you happen to have with Lotusphere?
Yeah, I mean, I you know, lots of feedback channels and lots of great dialogue, both sort of, you know, new social and good old-fashioned old social kind of around the fountain. I guess I heard a number of things that were kind of consistent themes. One was that this year the dialogue that was driven by clients talking about their journey to social business was very high quality. And, you know, we worked hard to get that set up. But ultimately, I think, you know, like any kind of community, the clients talking about their journey to social and their, you know, what worked, what didn't work, where the technology played, where culture had a difference, where leadership had a difference, was, I think, very high value. Probably the best kind of dialogue about enterprise social business that's been put together in the industry so far. And people really appreciated that. And I got that from everything from kind of business people and CIOs to, you know, developers trying to figure out, you know, what does this mean to them. So I think that community-driven content about outcome was incredibly exciting to folks. I think the technology roadmap that we put up got people very, 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 very jazzed. I think we showed, you know, very, very compelling evolution across the whole portfolio from, you know, Notes and Domino through to the cloud, through to Connections, through IBM Docs. I really think that there was a lot of excitement that the mix of capability that we are showing as part of the roadmap was the right mix. And, you know, and that's something that I think takes a lot of work. It was the right mix both from the kinds of features and functions right through to, you know, look and feel and usability. So I think we were able to sort of walk the walk on the capabilities needed for a social business while we were, you know, laying out the business outcomes. So that would be sort of my second, you know, big takeaway from folks. They were excited about the roadmap. And then I think the third thing was, and this is maybe more subtle, but I think we were able to put the context of social business into a very broad set of capability that leverages, you know, all of IBM and all of the community. You know, if you look at what it takes to be a social business, clearly part of it is the collaborative technology and the social networking technology. But there's also pretty important ingredients that come from increased intelligence with analytics and integrating content and content systems into what people are doing. And I think the way we showed that integration and thought about how to describe that to both our clients and to partners who may have more than one skill set was very compelling. I think it scaled right up to a discussion that Manoj Saxena led on Watson. And as he was describing the drive of Watson into becoming a system and a tool to help in healthcare, he actually made the point that the dialogue going on amongst doctors and the decisions that doctors are making in the context of treating patients could actually, sort of round trip into being content to teach Watson how to make a better decision the next time. So I think at a tactical level, the pieces were tied well together, which creates more and more opportunity for partners because it's a broader set of skills. And I think, sort of at the strategic end, the role of this social dialogue in very advanced processes is kind of laid out now in a roadmap. So those would be my three big takeaways. I mean, I think, apart from the usual fun everybody had and the dialogue and the great events, I mean, I think those were the big three takeaways I took.
All right, Alistair, we have one final question for you, and that's, how will IBM's new CEO, Ginni Rometty, influence the direction of IBM Collaboration Solutions?
Well, it would be, I would certainly never, try to speak on behalf of Ginni. She has done a number of sort of dialogues since she became CEO. And one of the things that I think she was, very clear about was she's been a key part of putting IBM's strategy together. And that, sort of continuation of what's happened is, likely to be, her intent. So I think you're not going to see, you're going to see a lot of continuity would be how I would say it. I can tell you that she is a phenomenal leader. She has a tremendous sense for listening to clients. I think we're all very, very excited about having Ginni at the wheel for the next 100 years, building on what's been a very successful 10-year for San Palmisano. So, watch and see as the story gets written, but we're all pretty excited.
All right. Well, I think we're going to wrap it up right there. And before we leave, would you like to go ahead and let us know who the opening speaker for Lotusphere 2013 is? Will it be another Canadian?
You can't go wrong with a Canadian, and I think the reaction to Michael Fox, I think did a great job and left people with an awful lot to think about. So I was pretty excited that people were so receptive to that. So I certainly am not ready to announce the speaker, but I'd certainly put the offer out that if your listeners want to make suggestions, this is a great time of year to be building that list. And, Canadians welcome, but, anybody from anywhere with a good story to tell, we're ready for.
All right. Well, thank you again for taking time out of your day to talk to us. That was some great answers. So I really, really appreciate it. And, congratulations on a great Lotusphere.
Well, look, thank you to you and to all the IBM champions. The work that the community does is ultimately sort of the base of social, and it was fun to have Rob Novak up there, and all I can say is, I'm really glad that he hit the demo button, because if he had hit the no demo button, I did not have a backup plan.
All right. Well, that's a wrap for Episode 148 of the Taking Notes podcast. I'd like to thank Alistair again for participating in today's show, and Karen Lila of IBM for setting this all up. So until next time, take care.